All right, let's come back together. Let's talk about being there. What does being there mean to you? Anybody willing to give your thought or your idea of what it means when someone says they're going to be there for you? Jim. What you need and not what you want, okay? That's good. I like that. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else? What's being there mean to you? Oh, yeah, Gina.
Being in a relationship and being there is giving 100% with each person in the relationship. Needs to give 100%.
Okay.
100 and 100, not 50. So you can be there.
100%. That seems exhausting. I am not going to be in a relationship with you, Gina. I do not have the time or energy. Okay. Yeah. I really want to go. So, what does 100% mean? But I won't. I won't do that. Yeah, Michelle.
Being physically available when I need you, and then emotionally too.
Physically and emotionally available. So actually, be there when I need you.
Yeah, like when I'm sad and I need a hug, and you need it
to come over and give me a hug. Yeah, and then go home, because I don't want to, like, feed you or anything. So, yeah, I just needed a hug. Now you can leave. Okay. Yeah, Julia.
We're talking a little bit about, like, having healthy boundaries with people.
Yeah.
So you can be there for someone, but not necessarily be, like, enabling them, or how sometimes, like, in a relationship, that can, like, mean more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Someone is, like, yeah.
Well, some of it goes to expectations, right? We have these expectations, and we kind of each, we've already just started a little bit, we have different expectations on what we think, and I said the other word, like, phrase, healthy relationships. We have these expectations on what we think that means.
Yeah.
And each of us has different expectations and different thoughts. So when I say, I'm going to be there for you, like, hey, I'm going to be there for you, you may have something in your mind that is different than what I'm saying. And so it's hard sometimes, that's why relationships, you know, we miss each other sometimes, and it's hard sometimes to know what it means to be a healthy relationship, because even she said 100%, we may define 100% different, right? Like what that means, and it can be a really confusing and difficult thing. Now, put that with God and our expectations on what a relationship, a healthy relationship with God is, and what does it actually mean to be spiritually formed, it gets a little tricky to understand how to be healthy with that. And to even say, what does it mean for God to be there for me? And, you know, even vice versa, am I there for God? And what does that even mean? Last week, we talked about believing, this idea of spiritually formed. And we talked about relationships over rules. I'm going to go further into that in just a minute. But that was the big idea, that rules sort of kind of can take over because people try to figure out what they're supposed to do according to the Bible. And we kind of took a lot of that and threw that aside last week. And we said that is not the goal of believing. Believing is a relationship. It's faith. It's trust. It's having a relationship with God. We took it out of the Jesus Creed. The Jesus Creed is simply what would have been used by the Israelites. They would have used this little phrase, and there's a second phrase we'll go into starting next week. They would have used these little phrases, and they would have repeated them 3 times a day. And they would have held them in their hearts and their minds, and it would have been this very important saying, like a mantra, a creed, that they would have said all the time. Jesus would have said this same creed 3 times a day. It was a very important thing for him. So when a teacher in the law, you know, one of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question, teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? We said last week, what are the rules? We want to know the rules. So we know exactly what we're supposed to do. Some of us, if you have children, what we're supposed to tell our children to do. And we want to be able to understand what the Bible says because it's a big thing that has a lot of stuff and a lot of authors, and we want to understand it. And Jesus replied really simply, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. It is the first and greatest rule, command. This is what matters. That little phrase is something Jesus would have said and his disciples would have said and would have been passed down even in the early church. This idea that the whole goal is to love God with everything you have, using your 100% idea. First and greatest rule. Remember, this comes out of a religious leader basically asking Jesus what rules are most important, and all Jesus says is love. I think Jesus is explaining a relationship that is healthy and a relationship that is meaningful. But in order to have that type of relationship, you have to be intentional. To have a relationship with God is not simply saying, I believe in God and I'm going to go about my life. It seems to be spiritually formed. You have to have some intentionality. I mean, even think about Jesus. Jesus would have said that phrase three times a day as a reminder. Three times a day as a reminder during his day. I love God. We love God with everything we have. So last week we asked a simple question. What rules are we supposed to follow? And we said that the problem is that rules start to become the belief system. So when you ask somebody, oh, you believe in God, what does that mean? They will give you, well, I believe this, 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 these things about God. And often it will delve into rules. Well, I follow this, and this is the doctrine I believe, and they go through all of these kind of things. But if belief is simply relationship, as Jesus explains, and we're going to go with that through this series, what does it practically look like to be intentional about having a healthy relationship with God? So today's week is we're going to use this word abiding. It is a funny little word that you probably don't use very often. I'll even ask you, this year so far, how many times have you used this word? Anybody use this once? Wow, I'm very impressed, Kate. Kate has used it one time. She's like daily. I use it every day. That is impressive. But most people don't use abiding. But it's an extremely rich word. And there's a reason we're going to use it, and we'll go into it in just a little bit. But the word abiding means this. To abide means to dwell in, to continue in. The idea is to be within God's love. What it kind of means is that I'm just kind of surrounded by God and I just dwell in that place. I don't like the idea of sitting in that place. I more like the idea is as I go along with my life, I am dwelling in God whatever I do and wherever I go. This echoes a lot of what we just said with the Jesus Creed. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. This is a lot. I mean, there's not much you can not see of how your life is supposed to be when you're dwelling with God, when you're abiding with God. You love the Lord your God with every aspect of who you are. So there's this idea of abiding, and this kind of sums it up. Let me see if I can explain this a little bit better. For those of you who are of a certain age, you may know what this sound is. I'm going to put it up here, and I will only play this for about 30 seconds. But tell me if you know what this sound is. Okay, that's good. We'll let it go. My kids would not even know what that is. They'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. This is dial-up internet. Do you remember having dial-up internet? A few of you? Oh, good. All right, there's some others. That's great. Our first internet service at our first apartment was, I remember how happy we were to get dial-up internet. We had one phone line. You remember you couldn't make, you had to switch phones, you make calls, and you do all of that. We'd have to hang up because, I've been trying to call you all day. Oh, my internet was on. Shoot. And I just remember trying to download anything, even sometimes pages that had a lot of content. I mean, do you remember this? And it would just slowly, kind of, yeah. But then we got cable internet, and it was like this aha moment. Everything changed. Cable internet. It was so much better. We had access all the time. You could get higher speed. You could pay for higher speed. So it just got better and better. You didn't have to wait for anything. Like, it was really nice. But there were some problems. If you had your laptop, you'd have to be close by. I remember sometimes I'd try to go outside and I couldn't do that because I'd have to have the cable and all of those kind of things. And it wasn't always simple. And sometimes it would break down and all sorts of issues. And then about 10 years ago, they introduced this Wi-Fi thing. And wireless internet became the thing. And over the last 5 to 10 years, it's become so normalized. You and I, most of us in here, you don't even know what it's like not to have the internet. Are you ever with someone and they say the word abide and you go, I don't know what that means. Hold on. Abide means to dwell in, to continue in, to stay in God's love. Oh, okay. That's what we do. It is basically because I don't even know what it's like to not have the internet everywhere, all the time. It's constant. And one of the problems is that my personal view of God gets screwed up a bit in this way. I think of God as dial-up internet, and I do it all the time. It's just so easy. I go along with my life, I live, and then I'm like, oh, God, that's right. And I, you know, plug in the phone line, plug in, you know, I won't play that again for you. I won't hurt your ears, but, you know, and try to get a hold of God. And somehow God's out there, you know, and he's going to, you know, listen to me, and we're going to have this conversation for this short little time. And then I've got other things to do, other calls to make, so I'm going to change it, and I'm going to hang up. And I fail to see how much that God is like wireless internet. That God isn't this idea in my mind that every once in a while I reach out to. God is just there all the time. Anytime I want to, I can be in this kind of relationship with God. But whether I'm being purposeful about it or not, God is just always there. When I was a kid, this was used to make me feel a little scared. Like, God's always there. He's always watching. As an adult, as I've left the guilt and the shame of what that was trying to do to me behind, I've started to understand the richness and the depth of that. Wherever I go, wherever you go, God is just with you. In fact, the Trinity, which we celebrate at the Journey, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, says that the Holy Spirit, when you're a follower of Christ, is always with you. And the wireless connection of the Holy Spirit also connects each of us because we all have the same Holy Spirit. So there's this really amazing web going on just right here in a place like the Journey. Rich, really rich. So what does that mean? So why does this matter? It's because last week when we talk about believing, and now we put it into this word abiding, which we'll explain even more in just a moment, sometimes we can feel guilty that we're not dwelling in God enough. We have this idea that a meaningful relationship with God is the 100% idea, and that has the idea that I've got to just constantly be around God, and I'm constantly praying to God. And I think maybe it's a little more simple than that, and maybe it's a little deeper than that. So this is how Jesus puts it. I'll put up a verse here. John 15, 9 through 11. We'll read this in a second, or you can read through it. But Jesus is talking to his disciples, his closest friends. He is about to die. And he knows what's coming, and he knows how it is all going to kind of start to unfold, and he sees what's happening, and it's kind of like the writing on the wall. And so he sits his guys down, and he starts having this conversation. It starts in John 13. He starts having this conversation with them. And it just becomes this really long diatribe, kind of his last words. I want you to hear this before, you know, and they're kind of like, why is he saying all this stuff? But it's really intentional. And in the middle of it, he says something to put last week and this week together, to put believing and not be about rules and being with God together. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, I'm going to not go there next week today, but next week we're going to talk more about what comes right after this, which is, do you want to know what my command is? Love one another. That's his command. That's his rule. Love each other. But today I want to sit here. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. That word remain is good, but not good enough for me. The Greek word meno has much deeper idea than just remain. Remain to me just kind of is like, okay, I'll just sit in God's love. The word that is used, abide, which is something you would see in Old English, like a King James Version Bible, I think works better. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. You will dwell in my love. You will continue in my love. You will be within my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands, and I dwell in, I continue, I am within God's love. I abide in God's love. And what is the command? We said last week it's a pretty simple command God gives us. Love the Lord your God with everything you have. Soul, mind, strength, spirit, everything. I love the Lord my God. You will notice then that the rules don't apply with God here. We said last week that the rules, everybody interprets them different. Everybody interprets this book different. Who's right and who's wrong? I'm tired of figuring that out. Instead, I just want to figure this out. How do I abide with God so that I am in that love relationship? Because he actually calls it joy. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That to have real joy in this life is to be in this love relationship with God, that it goes to all aspects of my life. To follow Christ, to be in this abiding relationship with God, this is not me dialing up God every once in a while. It's the realization that God and I are always in a meaningful relationship constantly all the time. You and God are always in a constant, meaningful relationship all the time. Now we have to ask this question though. What does that look like practically? To give an example is, I don't think it's that much different than any relationship you have. I'll use my wife. Her and I know she's always there for me. I do. But my wife goes to work and she's got things she does and, you know, she goes, works out, and, you know, sometimes there's whole days. You know, she was gone for a couple days this week at a convention, so I didn't even see her for a couple days. Our love relationship didn't stop. We were still there for each other. At any time, if I needed her or she needed me, we would have been there for each other, especially if there was some kind of emergency. But I take great comfort that even though we're in our individual lives, we're in a love relationship. Whether that's just the occasional conversation or spending deeper time together or just living alongside each other. I don't feel guilt whether or not, oh, am I being around Wendy enough or not? Is she being around me enough or not? It becomes a natural, life-giving thing. To practically then to abide together, though, there are some times with my wife I do have to be intentional. Because if we just go along and the days go by and we're not intentional, it can kind of get away from you. That relationship can kind of drift. So my wife and I, long time ago, put in some protocols, is what we call them. These are our protocols for our relationship. We will, at least a couple times a week, be alone together, most probably outside of the house. That's what we always try to do, at least a couple times a week. We're going to be outside of the house alone. Just read that, away from the children. That's just what you need to hear. Away from the children, just the two of us are going to be alone. And we stick to that religiously. Because we have those select times where we get to be intentional. And our conversation can go deeper. And our friendship can be renewed. And we are able to have this kind of way to check in with each other. So that we don't go off. We don't go off. We stay. If we tried to do this every day, 24/7, it would be exhausting. But we do this here and there because life sometimes can get away from you. I don't think it's much different with God. When you think about God, God is not going anywhere away from you. And you aren't going anywhere away from God. And you can live your life right alongside God, and He is there, and you're there, and you are fine. But you might want to do some things intentionally that the wireless God sometimes go, oh, I do need to check in with God. And I want to make sure it doesn't get away from me. And I come back in. One of the things we call this at The Journey, we call these sacred practices. That God is always there. He's never leaving. We take great comfort in that love. But we want to be intentional about it. And so we want to give you one today. A sacred practice you could use whenever you'd like. You could use this every day. You could use this once a week, every once in a while. Or maybe this is something you add to other things you do. And it's just a way for us to kind of calm our spirit and check back in with God. So if you look around you, you have some cards. They look like this. It says prayer of examine. Prayer of examine. The prayer of examine is by St. Ignatius. I'll email this out too this week. But he put this together in the 16th century. And it was basically just to help people abide in Christ. How do you abide in Christ? Because, you know, it's hard sometimes to know. How do I keep a love relationship with God going? And so he put this thing together to kind of help people think through some steps that they could go through very fast or they could take their time on. So we're just going to take a few minutes here, and we're going to take our time with this. And we're going to go through each step as a way of intentionally abiding with Christ. So we'll put the steps up here, and we'll just start with the first one. You feel free to kind of close your eyes and calm your spirit for a moment if you'd like, right where you're at. And just rest in God right where you are. We encourage you, if you'd like to change postures if you want. Some people like to stand. Others, you know, one of the things we like to do at the Journey is body prayers. You can put your palms up, basically giving yourself to God, and that can be helpful. But you're just asking the Holy Spirit to open your mind and heart to see God in your life and maybe places where you've been drawn towards God this week or today or even this weekend, or places maybe you've been drawn away from God. So take about 30 seconds and kind of think through that. Are there places I've been drawn towards God this last day or two? And maybe there's some things that have gone on that have drawn you away from God. And just in stillness, become aware of those things. Next, we want to express gratitude. We think through those things that are drawing us towards or away from God, and we want to spend a little moment giving gratitude to God for the things that have been provided for us. So just take another 30 seconds and express thankfulness to God. Maybe something that has specifically happened to you in the last day or two that you can just kind of give to God. And I want to encourage you. Sometimes we want to just chalk things up to coincidence. I want to encourage you to see the spiritual in your life just a little bit more and thank God for some of those things. The third step is this time of reflection. That's where we look for God's presence. Look for ways God is in your life presently. Again, not chalking things up to coincidence, but instead seeing the spiritual, looking for God. Ways he's been a part of your life just this morning or over this weekend. And just reflect on those times that God was with you. And then step four is confession. This doesn't have to be, you know, a renting of the clothing and feeling horrible about yourself. This is a time, remember, we worship a wireless God. He's always with us. So this is a time to uncover and unhide anything. Anything we want to just get out to God and get real with God about, maybe even just something that's bothering us. And we just want to be open. And maybe it is something that's kind of dark and difficult. And we want to just start the process of letting God into that place. Take another 30 seconds, and if there's anything you have to confess, do that with God. And then finally, step five is simply growth. On our spiritual journey that we want to look forward with hope to tomorrow, to the possibilities of change, to seeing God in a different way, ourselves in a different way, and continuing to abide. And I'm going to close us at this point in prayer. And our prayer is that we are 4 weeks from Easter, and that that is the hope we're looking towards, the resurrection, and that we can live that every day. Pray with me. God, I thank you for these people. You have connected us by the Holy Spirit. There is something deeper that we have than just friendship. We have a spiritual friendship. And as we come together and as we gather around today and as we think, God, about what it looks like to abide in you, take away any shame or guilt that may hinder us and let us get a little open about the things that are real in our lives. Whether that's things we need to confess, or things we need to give thanks for, or just we need to reflect and remind ourselves that you're in the midst of our lives. And God, as we just checked in, we want to take step five very seriously as well. God, we look forward to hope. God, we are not a people that sit in misery or in pain. We know it's there and we believe it's real. But God, we are always looking for ways in which you are pushing for good in this world, even in our own lives. So let each of us, God, pray to you now for the possibilities of today, the possibilities of tomorrow, and the hope of the resurrection. And finally, God, I just pray that we live the resurrection hope every single day. Thank you for abiding in us and allow us to abide in you even more. It's in your name, Christ, we pray. Amen.
I really like the analogy of the wireless God, because I'm a big internet fan, and it's great that no matter where I am, if I'm bored for 2 minutes, I have right there with me this vast banquet of videos of kittens falling over. That's what's beautiful about the internet to me. And I get some of that same picture when I come in here every Sunday morning and there's a table right in the middle of the room already there. Full of food for me to eat, full of drink for me to drink. That tells me something about God, that I can come into church and I can choose not to eat, I can choose not to drink, and that's fine. It's like choosing to not use the internet. But the beautiful thing is that God is always here for us. I was raised with ideas about God where the word omni came before a lot of things. It was omnipotent and omniscient, and it's not that I had a problem with that, but it didn't really touch my heart. What I was taught about God is that God is omnipresent, and what I learned to actually have that get into me is that God is always present for me, that God is here for me, just like the bread is here for us to eat. We're going to have the Eucharist now, and you'll go to the table when you're prepared, and you take the bread and dip it into the wine or the juice and eat it. And that's a picture of everything that happens all the time and what you can have with God at any moment in your life. The tables are ready. Go when you're prepared.